अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास सारी गौर भक्तवृंद की जाए। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंज राध कुंड गिरि गोविंदान की जाए। वृंदावन धाम की जाए, नवद्वीप धाम की जाए, भक्ति देवी की जाए, तुलसी महारानी की जाए, जमुना देवी की जाए, गंगा देवी की जाए, समवेत भक्तवृंद की जाए। गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नमः ओम विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे। त्रिनादपि सुनिचेन तरोरिवा सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीया सदा हरि। सो दैट मंत्र गिवन टू अस बाय लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु इज द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट थिंग आई हैव लर्नड इन माय लाइफ। Lord Chaitanya instructs that if one wants to be able to chant the holy name incessantly, which is my goal, then one must always be meek and humble, extremely tolerant, give all respects to others, and not think of getting honor or respect from others. So I'd like to honor you. Please accept my obeisances as I am trying to see Krishna in your heart. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Therefore, kirtaniya sada hari. If one follows these guidelines, four guidelines, then one can easily always chant the holy name. Hare nama. Hare nama, hare nama eva kevalam, kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. The very day that Krishna left this planet Earth 5,000 years ago, the age of Kali began. This age of Kali, Kalir Doshinade Rajan, my dear King Shukadeva Goswami, one of the last instructions that Shukadeva Goswami gave Parikshit, before he gave up his body, being bitten by the Takshaka snake bird. One of the final instructions of Shukadev, Kaler Dosha Nide Rajan, my dear king, this age of Kali is like an ocean of bad things, dosha, faults. I'm not talking about the dosha that you eat. This is dosha. Bad, inauspicious, faulty things. Kali Yuga is an ocean, meaning wave after wave after wave after wave. One day just keeps coming, one bad news after another. Asti hi eko mahan guna, but there is only one good thing Shukadeva Goswami could say about the age of Kali. Only one. Eka. Mahan guna. Only one good quality. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. The kirtan, and he specifically used the word Krishna. Krishna kirtan. He was very specific. He didn't say just kirtan. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. Certainly that word eva. Certainly or must. Kirtanasya, kirtanad eva Krishna, of Krishna. Krishnasya, of Krishna, genitive case. It is the kirtan of Krishna is the only good thing in the age of Kali. Why? Because mukta sanga parang vrajate. By this chanting of Krishna's name, you will go back home, back to Godhead. You will get complete liberation. That was one of the last things Shukadeva Goswami impressed about into Maharaj Parikshit. So this is my religion. I mentioned this in the first talk. This is my religion. The religion of humility and the religion of simply chant the name of Krishna, everything will come. Everything. And that requires faith. And that faith is gotten when you do these kinds of programs, association of devotees. There is a song we sing sometimes. Another one of Prabhupada's favorite songs. Bajuhure manasri nandanandana abhayachara naravindare dulava manava sat sange. This is sat sange. This is the association of sat. The association of devotees. Those who are really living eternal life. So this is the real thing right here. So the theme today, Ramakrishna Das gave me the theme. Giving appreciation thanks for the success of their children. So there is a very nice exchange between Krishna and his friend Sudama, the Brahmin. This is found in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, which I'm going to read from Prabhupada's summary of 10th canto, Krishna book. The book that convinced me to become a chanter of Krishna's holy name. It took 6 chapters. When I read the 6th chapter, where Krishna kills Putana, I closed the book and decided, I am going to be a member of this Hare Krishna movement. I'm going to dedicate my life to Srila Prabhupada. That was in February of 1973. Best decision I ever made in my life. Second best decision was accepting the proposal of my wife. And the next best decision was when Pavaka Devi Dasi requested and urged and practically demanded that I take over the Namahat program in Los Angeles. So if you would like to, now, so we have been in Vrindavan for about an hour or two, but now I want to take you to Dwaraka. Are you ready to come with me to Dwaraka? If you are ready, say, Goranga! All right, so let's go to Dwaraka. If I'm closing my eyes, it's because I want to enter Samadhi. Will you let me enter Samadhi? All right, so I'm closing my eyes so that I can picture and see. So after Krishna killed Kamsa, and we read in the first session how Krishna was reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki. So Krishna then told Yashoda and Nanda, who had also come to Mathura to see the wrestling match, he told them, you should go back to Vrindavan. I want to spend some time with my parents. Then it was revealed. Up until that point, Yashoda and Nanda thought that Krishna was their son. But after this, then it was revealed. Actually, Krishna was switched at birth. And that Nanda and Yashoda were the foster parents. So everything became revealed. Devaki and Vasudeva knew all along, but they never said. Even though Nanda came one time to visit Vasudeva, they were very good friends. Nanda had to pay the yearly taxes, which is interesting. Taxes have been around since at least the time of Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam it says, you know what the age of Kali means? More and more taxes. It's stated in, so don't worry about Democrat, Republican. Age of Kali means more taxes. Guaranteed. You're going to be taxed so much, you're going to want to go to the forest. That's what Bhagavatam says. So don't get caught up in all this politics stuff. You will be taxed. Anyway, that's a side note. Hare Krishna. Thank God there's no tax for Hare Krishna. That's the, as I many times say, that's the only thing that's not coming from China. It's coming from the spiritual sky. So when Nanda came to pay the yearly tax in Mathura, he stayed with Vasudev. But Vasudev didn't say anything. He simply asked some questions, how your son is doing. But he never revealed. But after the killing of Kamsa, then everything was revealed. So Krishna spent some time with his parents, Vasudev and Devaki. He went to the Kurukula. And at a certain point, staying in Mathura, they were attacked 17 times by Jarasandha. Jarasandha had two daughters, Asti and Prapti. They were Kamsa's wives. Kamsa had no sons. So after Kamsa was killed, the two daughters had no recourse but to go back to Papa. And Jarasandha was very, very disturbed that now his two daughters were widows. So Jarasandha decided, I'm going to rid the earth of this Yadu dynasty. So Jarasandha gathered a huge army and attacked. And Krishna Balaram effortlessly defeated his army, but left Jarasandha wagging his tail all the way back home to Bihar, where he came from, Magda province, Magadha. So 17 times Jarasandha assembled a huge army. Krishna and Balaram, they wiped out his army but didn't kill him. That was their tactic. Because when Lord Brahma approached Shirodakashai Vishnu, Mother Earth was crying. They said, Krishna, Mother Earth, she's overburdened by the strength of the demons, the military-industrial complex created by Kamsa. So Shirodakshai Vishnu reported that Krishna himself was going to come and take care of all the demons. That was one reason for Krishna's descent. He was going to come and take care of all the demons once and for all. So Krishna is smart. He figured, if I kill Jarasandha, there'll be so many demons. But if I don't kill Jarasandha, he'll gather a new army and I'll take care of so many demons in one fell swoop. Very economical. So 17 times, Jarasandha gathered a huge army of demons. Each time, Krishna and Balaram wiped him out. Each time, Jarasandha went with his tail between his legs. On the 18th time, you would think, right? After 17 times, you would conclude you're not going to defeat this Krishna. But no, that's the problem with the demon. He doesn't learn his lesson. So on the 18th time, Jarasandha had an accomplice. His name was Kalayavana. So Mathura was being attacked by two ends. So Krishna was very considerate. He didn't want the citizens of Mathura to be bothered. So one night, everyone in Mathura went to sleep. And when they woke up, they were a few thousand miles away in a new city called Dwaraka, which Krishna had created. Pretty good, huh? You go to sleep in Mathura, you wake up, and, right? No 747, and the airline has to check you and look inside. Just go to sleep. That would be great. Just imagine, we're here, we go to sleep, we're in India. Pretty good, huh? Would you like that? That's possible with Krishna. Oh, thank you very much. So everybody in Mathura was transported to Dwaraka, the city within the ocean. And then Krishna and Balaram dealt with Jarasandha and Kalayavana. Krishna showed his pastime as Ranchoraji. And Krishna married Rukmini, and the whole Dwaraka Leela begins at that point Again, Jarasandha is not killed. That's taken care of later. So now, the scene is, Krishna is living in Dwaraka as the crown prince. He's not the king. The king of Dwaraka is Ugrasen, Kamsa's father, who Kamsa had arrested. See how cruel Kamsa was. He arrested his own father just so that he could be king. Because Ugrasena was great, pious, devotee king. Kamsa was just the opposite. Kamsa comes in the Hiranyakashipu Sampradaya, which we read about in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Demon. So Ugrasena is king of Dwaraka, but Krishna is like the crown prince. And by this time, the incident that I'm going to read, Krishna, for some reason, only married 16,108 wives. It was renunciation. He was showing detachment. Only 16,108. And he had a separate apartment palace for each wife. And it's described in the Bhagavatam that at night, one Krishna would enter the gateway. It's like when you entered here, right? You had to go through the security guard, right? Then you were allowed entrance into Kandapur Dham, right? So in the same way, one Krishna would enter the gate, which would be for the 16,108 palaces. And as soon as that one Krishna would enter, he would become 16,108 Krishnas. And one Krishna would go to each palace. And he would behave differently with each wife. Now, when Krishna was a young boy, he went to Ujjain, and he was the student of Sandipani Muni. And one of his classmates was Sudama. But Sudama, by this time, he is married, he is a brahmana, but he is extremely, extremely destitute. So poor, his wife urged him, "You should go see your friend Krishna. He's right nearby. He's your old school friend. You should go pay a visit." So Sudama, Indian custom, you bring a gift when you come. So many of you brought things when you came. That is Indian culture. But they were so poor. So his wife had to go to the neighbor and beg some rice. That's how poor they were. They had to go next door to beg rice. So Sudama, on the way, walking by foot, on the way to visit Krishna in Dwaraka, he was remembering so many things. And he was appreciating how he had this great friend. And Krishna could see Sudama coming up the road. And Krishna became very happy. And at this time, it seems Sudama entered the palace of Rukmini, Krishna's number one queen. She was the first, and she was the queen of all the other 16,108 queens. She was number one. Krishna had her first son by her, Prajumna, who was stolen at birth by a demon, but then later reunited. So Krishna was sitting on the bed, and it's described the bed, the sheets were like white as the milk foam, right? The foam of milk is very, very white. So that's how clean Krishna's bedstead was. And Rukmini was fanning Krishna, just like when we do the arti, my wife will have a fan, the chamar, fanning Krishna. But when Sudama came, Krishna washed his feet. Krishna put him on his bed. And Krishna and Rukmini worshipped Sudama. Krishna, although he's God, in this pastime, he was teaching by his example how we should have such respect for saintly persons. So then there was a conversation between Krishna and Sudama. And this conversation is very, very instructive. So I have set the scene. I hope you're with me now in Dwaraka. We're in Krishna's bedroom. Krishna's bedroom. Sudama is sitting on the bed. Krishna and Rukmini are there. So let us go now and hear from Srila Prabhupada how he describes the scene. All in favor say, Hari Bol. Lord Krishna said, My dear Brahmin friend, you are a most intelligent personality, and you know very well the principles of religious life. I believe that after you finished your education at the house of our teacher, and after you had sufficiently remunerated him, you must have gone back to your home and accepted a suitable wife. I know very well that from the beginning, you were not at all attached to the materialistic way of life, nor did you desire to be very opulent materially, and therefore you are in need of money. So, this is the symptom of a real Brahmana. Krishna is now hinting, what's a real Brahmana? Right? A real Brahmana means he takes just what he needs to keep body and soul together. Not extravagant. Just what is necessary. Notice also that Krishna mentioned the Guru Dakshina, that you give some remuneration for what the teacher has given. And there are two types of brahmachari students. One brahmachari student, he takes to household life. And another kind of student will continue on and ultimately become sannyasi. It's done? Oh, okay. Very good. All right. That's okay. Well, thank you. But here, Sudama, even though he's a householder, he is living an ideal life, just enough to keep body and soul together. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna outlines 9 symptoms or qualities of a Brahman. Shamo damak tabak socham, shantir arjavam evacha, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahma karma. This is how a Brahmana works. His mind is controlled, his senses are controlled, he's austere, he's truthful, clean, he has knowledge, and he practices the knowledge. And the most important quality of a Brahman, astikyam, firm faith in God and the Vedas. That's the most important. Firm faith in God and the scriptures. So Sudama was that kind of Brahman. Krishna continues. In this material world, persons who are not attached to material opulence are very rarely found. Such unattached persons haven't the least desire to accumulate wealth and prosperity for sense gratification. But sometimes they are found to collect money just to exhibit the exemplary life of a householder. They show how by proper distribution of wealth, one can become an ideal householder and at the same time a great devotee. For instance, we have great examples, Janak, Ambarish, Parikshit, Yudhishthir, many, many examples in Vedic literature. They were great kings, and because they were kings, along with that, there's certainly going to be opulence. But even though they were in this situation, they did not become overwhelmed. They did not become bewildered, as it says here by Krishna. They set the exemplary ideal model. So, you can be very well-to-do, that's all right, but you should not become so much consumed in material life that you forget your spiritual life. That's the key. Not to lose focus. Yes, become successful, become happy, but don't forget the objective. Don't forget the real purpose of your life, which is complete freedom, liberation, going back home, back to Godhead. Such ideal householders are to be considered followers of my footsteps. So when you are a proper householder, keeping a nice balance of material and spiritual well-being, Krishna says you are a follower of his footsteps. Krishna continues, I hope, my dear Brahmin friend, you remember all those days of our school life when you and I were living together at the boarding school. Actually, whatever knowledge you and I received in life was accumulated in our student life. If a man is sufficiently educated in student life, under the guidance of a proper teacher, one's life becomes successful in the future. One can very easily cross over the ocean of nescience, and thus one is not subject to the influence of the illusory energy. So that's the whole game of life. How not to be overwhelmed by the influence of the material energy. That is the real trick. We are here in this material world. We have to deal with this material energy, but not to become entangled. That's the art of living. The art of living is, yes, I'm in this material world, but how to act in such a way that I don't become degraded, how I don't become entangled. That I'm here, but I'm using everything in such a way that ultimately I am making my progress towards liberation. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a word in chapter 7, dharyate. Krishna explains that the conditioned soul in this material world, dharyate, is either utilizing or exploiting the material energy. Two different meanings for the same word. Exploiting, that's the demon. The demon is using Krishna's material energy for his own selfish purposes. You all know hundreds and thousands of examples of such persons. They're on the television, they're on the radio, they're people you work with, your neighbors. They are simply trying to exploit Krishna's energy for themselves. But the other meaning of dharyate is utilize. We have microphones, computers, instruments. You have your various talents. All these things have been given by Krishna, and we use them to help us become liberated from this material world. We use these things to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the whole bhakti scheme. It's called yukta vairagya, feasible detachment. In Krishna's view, there's nothing wrong simply for instance, one time, an Indian friend of my wife and I, he tried to trick me. Prabhuji, is money good or bad? He thought he was going to trick me. But I read Prabhupada's book, so you cannot trick me. I said, neither. It's how you use it determines whether it's good or bad. You can be the richest man. If you use it for Krishna, it is all good. But that same money, if only you're using for your own sense gratification, you have purchased your ticket to hell. So that is the key. So whether you are, and it's not just money, you may have gifts, talents, resources, you may have intelligence, you may have abilities. Nothing wrong. Just use them, like Kulvant was saying about you and the kids. Do good, right? She said, yes. And the best do good is to become a devotee of Krishna. That's the best do good. Topmost. That's not my saying. That's what Krishna says. Everybody believe Krishna? Anybody got a problem with Krishna? Let's continue. My dear friend, everyone... Oh, here it comes. Listen up. Children, this is for you, children. Whether you're big children or little children. My dear friend, everyone should consider one's father to be the first teacher. Because by the mercy of one's father, one gets this body. The father is therefore the natural spiritual master. So those of us who are fathers, we should take this seriously. That we are Krishna's representative. But that doesn't mean I can do any damn thing I want. No, that's why monarchy failed. Why did monarchy fail? The king, according to Bhagavad Gita, the king is the representative of God, Nrideva. So when somebody is a king, but he's a demon, he thinks, oh, I'm God, now I can do whatever I want. No, that doesn't work that way. You have to be the representative. That's a difference. That's why we have all these scriptural examples of great kings. The Bhagavatam even has the story of King Vena. King Vena, when he became king, he declared himself God. He didn't want anybody worshipping Vishnu. He said, now everybody must worship me. I'm the king. The scriptures say the king is God, therefore worship me. After some time, the Brahmin community got so disgusted, they cursed him, and by their cursing, he died. Don't mess with powerful Brahmins. Fortunately, such Brahmins don't exist anymore. Because if they did, we wouldn't have any leaders in the country, around the world. Because they all would be cursed. Top to bottom. This one, that one, this one. But the concept is, whether you're a king, whether you're a father, you have to be the representative of God and act accordingly. The father is therefore the natural spiritual master. Our next spiritual master is one who initiates us into transcendental knowledge. And he is to be worshipped as much as I am. So that transcendental knowledge begins with the Bhagavad Gita. That's where your transcendental knowledge begins, with Bhagavad Gita. And as I say, year after year, everyone should be reading Bhagavad Gita every day. Every day, everyone should be touching and tasting Bhagavad Gita every day. If you do that, you will see your auspiciousness grow. Guaranteed. The spiritual master may be more than one. The spiritual master who instructs the disciple about spiritual matters is called Shiksha Guru. And the spiritual master who initiates the disciple is called Diksha Guru. Both of them are my representatives. There may be many spiritual masters who instruct, But the initiator spiritual master is one. A human being who takes advantage of these spiritual masters and receiving proper knowledge from them crosses the ocean of material existence. We see that Krishna tells Arjuna this in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanah. So here Krishna is saying the same thing. So one kind of spiritual master, he will give you instructions how to advance. The other spiritual master initiates you, gives you your initiation into the reading of the Vedic literatures and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let's all chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is to be understood that anyone who takes advantage of the spiritual master has properly utilized the human form of life. One who has practical knowledge that the interest of life, which is to be gained only in the human form, is to achieve spiritual perfection and thus be transferred back home, back to Godhead, which I've been mentioning all along. This is the ultimate liberation. To go back, this is something you'll see in Prabhupada's books. Back. Back means that's where you originally came from. I was not born in India. So I cannot say, oh, I'm going back to India. I can say, I'm going back to New York. Forget about it. Because that's where I was born. But here he's saying, and he says it repeatedly, back home, back to Godhead. That's where we came from. Somehow or other, just like the residents of Dwarka, right? They were in Mathura, and one day they woke up in Dwarka. One day we woke up, and we were in Cerritos, or wherever. But originally, we were with God, with Krishna, or Narayan, some expansion. That is our home. That is our original home. And the goal of life is to get back there, not stay here. The goal, ultimate liberation, is to return home. And there are so many people waiting for you there. Yes. There are so many there waiting. Would you hurry up, please? Would you hurry up? They're waiting. And when you return, you will be embraced. And who do you think will embrace you? Krishna. And he will say, we've been waiting so long. Welcome back. Who wants to go back home now? Jai. Who wants to come back and take birth again? Here. You want to come back? All right. Krishna gives you that choice. If you want. Yeah, it's okay. I don't know who's going to be president. I don't know. Krishna continues, My dear friend, I am Paramatma, the Super Soul, present in everyone's heart. And it is my direct order that human society follow the principles of Varna and Ashram, as I have stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Human society should be divided according to quality and action into four Varnas. Similarly, everyone should divide life into four parts. One should utilize the first part in becoming a bona fide student, receiving adequate knowledge and keeping oneself in the vow of brahmacharya, so that one may completely devote one's life for the service of the spiritual master without indulging in sense gratification. A brahmachari is meant to lead a life of austerity and penance. The householder is meant to live a regulated life of sense gratification. This is the difference between grihastha and grihamedhi. A grihamedhi says, no, my purpose of life is enjoy, 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 enjoy. But a grihastha says no. Regulated sense gratification. There must be some control. One has to return to the austerities and penances formally practiced in the brahmachari life in the next stage, vanaprastha. Thus relieve oneself of the attachment to householder life. As the super soul of all living entities, I sit in everyone's heart, and I observe everyone's activity in every stage in order of life, regardless of which stage one is in. So that's something to remember. We're never alone. Krishna is always seeing everything we do at every second. There are no secrets from Krishna. You cannot hide. He sees everything. When I see that one is engaged seriously and sincerely in discharging the duties ordered by the spiritual master and thus dedicating one's life to his service, that person becomes most dear to me. Now in my life, I got an instruction from Srila Prabhupada. I asked him a question. It was in a temple in Atlanta in March of 1975. So it was a public question. I raised my hand. Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Prabhupada, he lowered his head, closed his eyes, and said in the microphone, when you love Krishna. So here Krishna is saying that when we serve and dedicate our lives to the spiritual master, then we become dear to Krishna. Prabhupada has instructed me to love Krishna. That is the goal of my life. I must learn how to love Krishna. Will you bless me for that? I need you to bless me. If you bless me, please chant the Maha Mantra one time. As far as the life of brahmachari is concerned, if one can continue the life of a brahmachari, that is extremely good. But if the brahmachari feels sex impulse, he should take leave of the spiritual master, satisfying him, and a gift is given which is called Guru Dakshina. Then the disciple should take to householder life and accept a wife according to religious rites. That's important. Accepting a wife according to religious rites. Prabhupada ends this by saying, these instructions given by Lord Krishna while talking with his friend are very good for the guidance of human society. A system of human civilization that does not promote varna and ashram is nothing but a polished animal society. Indulgence in sex by a man or a woman living single is never acceptable. A man should strictly follow the principles of brahmachari life, or with the permission of the spiritual master should get married. Single life with illicit sex is animal life, for the animals have no institution as marriage. Modern society does not aim at fulfilling the mission of human life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. The system of varna and ashram must be followed. When the system is followed rigidly and consciously, it fulfills this mission. But when followed indirectly, without the guidance of superior order, it simply creates a disturbing condition in human society, and thus there is no peace and prosperity. And that's exactly what's happening now in this age of Kali. As age of Kali progresses, there'll be less and less religion, and as a result, more and more chaos. So the message of Krishna, the message of Krishna consciousness is to finish up the business and return, again the word, return home back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna in my heart is telling me that you should lead the kirtan. Will you accept that instruction? Let us all rise and worship the Supreme Personality of God.